Perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and thank you for tuning my way this morning. This is Reverend Tommy Bounce. It is a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. The Bible said we can rejoice and be glad there, and we rejoice because God is our God. We're so glad for that, and I hope you've tuned my way this morning that you might receive a great blessing. Well, let's get our broadcast started with this song here, and it says, On Sunday Morning, Coming Down.
Sunday morning sunshine, bathing in the land. Sunday morning people with their Bibles in their hand. He wonders why they pass him by, walk around him on the street, to shade the light that replaced the night. He cups his hands to see. While in the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Does anybody care? Can't they hear him crying? In the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Preachers talk about the need in the foreign land. He said, ain't you heard, we are the world. Let's lend a helping hand. It's getting late, pass the plate. Do the best you can. Congregation rises. Somebody says, amen. While in the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Does anybody care? Can't they hear him crying? In the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. A worn-out coat he neatly folds, puts it under his head, while the shadow of the steeple rests upon his face. A choir sings, church bells ring, people gather round. They just shake their head as they walk away from the figure lying on the ground. While in the shadow of the steeple, someone's dying. Does anybody care? Don't they know he's dying? In the shadow of the steeple, someone's dying. Shadow of the steeple, souls are dying. Does anybody care? Can't they hear them crying? Don't they know they're dying? We need to listen to their crying. We need to reach out to the people who are there beneath the steeple. Don't let the shadow of the steeple find them dying.
It's a real song. I was over in the shopping center one day. I was at my lowest ebb, and I was running through the songs and happened to run into that song. It just inspired me to keep going. I'll tell you, these days and times it's hard. And I want to say I appreciate Joe and Barbara Hampton. And let me tell you, I know this is going to thrill Dana and Daryl. Our web, they were out in Dallas, Texas, and they said that they was at their low ebb because they couldn't hear the broadcast. And I appreciate that, Brother Hampton, and I appreciate you, Barbara. And I appreciate they said their Sunday couldn't be complete without hearing my broadcast. And I don't want to get the big head over that, but I'm glad for that. It's way out in Dallas, Texas, and they heard the broadcast, and I think that's marvelous. And I appreciate the offer, and I appreciate the support that you give me on the broadcast. Hey, if it wasn't for people like you, I couldn't maintain this broadcast. And our equipment's getting bad. We're going to have to purchase more equipment. And every dime that you send will go toward new equipment. We need a new computer. We need new boxes to play the songs in and all that. So I appreciate you, Brother Hampton. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you way out there in Dallas hearing the broadcast. And I know that that's going to thrill Dana and Daryl very much, because they are our web servers, and I know that they work hard in keeping our ministry coming into the hearts and the lives of people. So I thank you, and I'm going to do this song just especially for you.
Sit at the table between my pap and my mother. Pap, well, he would feed me on one side and on the other my mother. Oh, we were old chums back then, pap, me and mother. On Sunday, we would take a walk through the woods and across the pastures. Pappy always carried his old cane, while Mother and I would pick at the daisies in the lane. Sometime my older sister was along, and other times it was just Pap, me and Mother. Pap, it seemed, as we would walk along, he would have his head down. He was thinking and couldn't hear me or Mother. Well, the old cowbell would be clinging, and the long lines in his face seemed to tell that he was worried about one thing or another. We did not understand, me, sis, nor mother. I grew up and I went away. I left the old farm. Just thinking about that day still brings a choke to me. Now it would have been all right living with my older brother, but I just never could forget leaving the old farm, Pap, and my mother. I went back one day and I found Pap all pale and hollow. Saw right off he'd soon be going where none of us could follow. The long streaks of his face showed just how he loved each other. And we would have to talk real fast to hold back the tears, for his eyes were saying just how much he hated to leave me, sis, and mother. Well, Pap went on, but Mother's still living. But soon she will too, I reckon. She tells me sometime she just can't seem to see Pap as he's standing there with his hand beckoning. Life ain't long, and I'll go myself one day or another. But then we'll all be back together, me, Pap, and Mother. Well, the pretty hill, the new roads to walk, and just to sit down at the river of life and never more to worry. We'll hear the great choirs of heaven singing, me, Pap, and Mother. And Gab, well, we'll play, and Gabriel's trumpet will sound, the beautiful birds will sing to one another, and there we will never more part, no more, me, Pap, Sis, and Mother.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that song. I love those recitations. I love doing the recitations. I know that Bobby Coulter likes my recitations, and Elise and Cinda, hope they're hearing the broadcast today. And let's continue to pray for James now. He's not doing any good. I understand he's coming home this week, I hope. And Louise, I should remember her, and then remember Phil and Kathy. They stopped at the house the other day, and he's going to come back and check my equipment out and find out what's going on with it. We're going to have to do something with it because it's just don't, it's, well, it's not operating just right. And, well, it sets us on pins and needles all through the broadcast because I don't know whether it's going to stay on or not. But anyhow, without your help, without your support, we couldn't go on anyhow. So I appreciate him stopping by and Kathy and Field. And I appreciate her other sister, Betty Jo and Ernest. I appreciate them. And I could go on and go on. A lot of people who hear this broadcast, and it's so very important to a lot of people that hear it, and the people who support it, I'll tell you, it's not my broadcast. I'm only here to bring you the music, and I appreciate the help. I appreciate the support that you give me on the broadcast. And to hear Brother Hampton say that way out there in Dallas, I thought, our broadcast gets clear around the world. Every Sunday it goes clear out around the world. So I appreciate that, and I hope that they're enjoying the broadcast this morning. Well, let's go listen to this song.
I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship was steady. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship stands the captain. I can hear as he calls out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion. And it may never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my sorrows and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. Sailing out on the old ship of Zion.
I thought I'd got to get it back on for you. I hope you're enjoying the broadcast today, and I hope Bobby likes that song. I know he loves that song, and I know that there's many people who like our music, and I appreciate that. But I would just keep on playing music, but we got to have the preached word. I think the Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's go to the word of God now and see what God has for you.
Life is a few days of trouble, a wise man once said.
Gospel in chapter 7 and beginning to read in verse 18. John's followers told him about all these things. And he calls for two of his followers and he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else?" When the man came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you with the question, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else?" At that time, Jesus was healing many people of their sickness, disease, and the evil spirits. And he had given sight to the blind. Then Jesus answered John's followers, "Go and tell John what you have saw and what you have heard. The blind can see, the cripple can walk. The people with skin diseases are being healed. The deaf are now hearing, and the dead have been raised to life. And the good news has been preached to the poor. Those who do not stumble in their faith because of me are blessed." When John's followers left, Jesus began talking to the people about John. "Now what did you go out into the desert to see? A reed? Something that is blown by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. People who have fine clothes and much wealth live in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And I will tell you, John is more than a prophet. This was written about him: I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way for you. Verse 28, I tell you that John is greater than any other person that was ever born. But even the least important person in the kingdom of God is greater even than John." Father, your word for your people, honor it. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said it?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to title this message today, "Strength That Cannot Be Bullied." Many preachers have talked about God doing new things. But you know, in my theology, I believe that God is always doing new things. We're seeing things happening today that people act as though it just happened. The gays, the homosexual movements, the television is covered. People are coming out of the closets. You know, not long ago, they became brazen, because the gays and the homosexuals kept themselves hid away in closets. They were afraid to identify as being gays and homosexuals. I do a recitation called "I Dream About Mama" last night, and in that recitation I talk about how I used to be young and gay. And someone came to me and said, "Hey, preacher, in this day and time you need to be more cautious about using the word of being gay." But it seems to me that the world, all of a sudden, they act as though they ran in to a new vocabulary. But gays have been even since the beginning of time. All through the Bible you will find them weeded in different places. Corinth, one of the most corrupt places. But today we call it lifestyle. God calls it an abomination. But yet they say, "Well, this is the way that God made me." They also say that God made you from a monkey. But are you a monkey? It's not lifestyle. It's an abomination in the sight of Almighty God. It's an abomination for man to lay with man. It's an abomination for a woman to lie with a woman. It's an abomination for a woman to marry a woman. It's an abomination for a man to marry a man. But they had crept in to our sanctuaries, even in our pulpits today. You have churches that are literally gay churches, homosexual churches. Why, you have churches that are called the Satan churches, and they are Satan worshipers. But does that make it right in the sight of God? Has it just begun to happen? Well, I'll tell you, back in September the 11th, something happened. Our world was shaken by a great catastrophe, a greater than Pearl Harbor. All of a sudden, planes begin to fly in to the towers. Men and women begin to lose their lives. Recitations and songs have been written about it. And we will soon be celebrating a year from September the 11th. But something else happened at that time. The Christian realized that it's time to come out of the closets. So you see, I say today that all of a sudden, God has put a backbone back in the Christian. You see, we've always been called the weakling. We've always been called the coward. We've always been called the sissy. I remember when I used to go to school as a little boy. Just because I was a Christian, just because I was raised in a Christian home, some of the people would laugh at me, and they would make fun of me because I was a Christian. I drove a school bus, and on that school bus, we would haul Christian children to Christian schools. And they laughed at them. They made fun of them, and they called them Christians. But you know what? I have seen those people who was laughed at, who was talked about, who left the bus many times with tears in their eyes because of the stand they took for Christ. But you see, they had a strength that couldn't be bullied. They hung on to Christ. They hung on to God. Regardless of all the opposition, they still stood for God. And today, they are prominent people in our community. They went on to be successful. They have successful homes and successful marriages. You see, folks, what I'm trying to say today is God is trying to put a backbone on the Christian. It's time, the Bible said, for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. It's time that we realize that we are not the tail, we are the head. So many people today say, well, the church is going under. Hey, folks, I read the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said the church is going over and going up. It ain't going down. Jesus said, I'll build a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, God made a covenant with Abraham a long time ago. Back then, it was only Abram. You remember when he made the covenant with Abram? But then after he made the covenant with Abram, he said, now you will be called Abraham. You see what he did? He put some ham on Abraham. He gave him a bravery that he could be able to stand. He would never bend. Jesus said, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed that is so easily shaken by the wind? I'm afraid today that as Christians, we have become the reed and not the strong tower that God has called us to be. I remember a man called Wishart. Now, I don't know whether you remember him, but he was a great preacher and a great philosopher. And at that time, they were martyring Christians. If you named the name of Christ, you were most generally put at the stake and burnt. That was when they had martyrs. But anyhow, Wishart claimed the name of Christ. So they took him out. Brother Elmo, they tied him to a stake. They put the brush fire all around him. They put the gas or what they were going to light it with. And then a man walked over with a torch in his hand. And Wishart looked down at him and said, sir, come close. He's tied to the post. And the man came very close. He said, come closer. And the man came closer. And he said, sir, just a little bit closer. And the man got as close as he could get, and Wishart reached over and kissed him on the cheek. And the man stood back and said, don't you know I'm getting ready to burn you at the stake? He looked at the man and he said, sir, for the cause of Christ, you are forgiven. You see, he had strength that could not be bullied. Even the flames of the fire that would burn him at the stake. But yet he stood faithful for God. But let me tell you what his faithfulness meant. There happened to be a man in the crowd called John Knox. John Knox at that time was not a Christian. John Knox watched this great man of God as he stood there courageously, as like Jesus said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." And as John Knox watched him as he was being burnt alive, all of a sudden God touched his heart. And John Knox went on out to become one of the world's greatest preachers. You see, he had strength that could not be bullied. Songs have been written about David and Saul. The Bible said that Saul hath slain his thousands, but David hath slain his 10,000s. I'm talking about people who had strength. I'm talking about people who could not be moved. This day and time, we're so easily moved with every wind of doctrine. Paul said, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the grace of God."
Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his lifeblood shed for me? Why did he suffer as no man ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one who loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me, even when I'm bad, He loves me. When it seems no one cares for me as He does, I talk with Jesus. He loves me.
A neighbor, don't forget to pray for me. I'll be praying for you. Father, I pray for my unseen audience. I pray for the sinner. I pray for the backslider, God. I pray for those who have erred in their faith, Lord, and faith has grown weak. And I pray that somehow or another they'll look up, not look down, because if God be for them, there's no power that will ever stand against them. We thank you for those who have supported this broadcast and helped this preacher so many years. And they love me, and I love them. Father, that love is greater in our heart than anything else we could ever have. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. We love telling that story about Jesus and His love. Well, neighbor, it's been good to be with you. Another month has come and gone. I hope that you stay with me next month. But until then, goodbye. Be good. And may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer. You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Meadows Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642, Meadows Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Goodbye. Until next week.
He molded and built a small lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow to be thorns that would make his Son bleed. Then he made a green stem gave it leaves and then gave it sunshine and rain and sheltered it with all.